It's almost 22 years ago, I quit smoking cigarettes, and it went something like this. You know, it's enjoyable, and then it starts to become a thing, especially when you are at least somewhat aware of the health issues. But you procrastinate. I'll do it, but not yet. And then a little tape starts going off. It's not exactly a public service announcement. I like to call it like a personal service announcement, that every time I would light up a cigarette, there'd be this little message like, you know this is bad for you. You know you should quit. Right. But then one day, I had to run up a flight of stairs. And when I got there, I was a little out of breath, and I think I got a little scared. So I bought the patch, and I determined to quit, but I didn't set a date. So it was the year that I was ordained a priest, and it was my first Holy Week and Easter, and that came and went, and then Monday was Easter Monday, and I was home resting, and I discover two things. One, I have three cigarettes in my pack. That's all in the house. And it starts snowing to beat the band. And this is mid-April in the northwestern corner of Connecticut, the foothills of the Berkshires, and it's a serious snow place. And it started coming down to beat the band, and in just a matter of minutes, it seemed, there were several inches already on the ground. And so I knew I had to make a decision. Do I go out in my car and risk life and limb on the roads to buy a product that could easily kill me, or do I quit that day? And it was about 11:30 in the morning when I'm having this conversation, and at 1:30 in the afternoon, I had that third cigarette, my last. And I entered the life of being a non-smoker, and by the grace of God, still am. But I've never understood that process or that decision or that event quite as I do in light of the gospel that we have before us today, this healing story. And I begin to believe that what has happened to me, what was chiefly at work in that time in my life, has something to do with willpower. But I will say the patch is your friend if you get in that situation. It really does take the cravings off. And I had willpower. But I believe I really got ready and got to the point where I claimed authority. I claimed a kind of an authority that was very deeply within me. I'm not sure I knew I had it to quit. But I believe that is, in fact, how I was able to pull it off. I authoritatively made the decision and commit to it. And now I find that I see our life somewhat differently, our cathedral life, in light of this insight on that important time in my life, one of the best decisions I ever made. And I begin to look at some of what is important to us in the cathedral, our life. This year we've been telling our stories. You know, if you've been here in days past, on Sundays, you participated in that. There's a lot of power in our stories. And another focus in our life of late is what we call civil discourse. Greg Kaufman and others facilitate a conversation amongst people in small groups, and that expands out to us as we participate, taking on difficult topics and fostering a healthy civil discourse so sorely needed in our life today, locally and beyond. And thirdly, where we go next year with a thematic focus, and that is on relationship. Surely our relationships one with another, but principally our relationships with God in Jesus Christ. Stories, civil discourse, and relationship in light of the power of authority. As I've prepared these remarks, I've slowly come to believe that someone is very unhappy with this conversation that we're having today. And I don't say this lightly or to sound quirky. But I believe that the devil does not like this conversation that we're having. That he wants very much to keep things the same as they are. That in the context of civil discourse, the kinds of things that we talk about, how can we impact homelessness and poverty and ignorance and greed, and prejudice, societal sins, if you will? How can we help the common good as people of faith, as God would call us to do that kind of work? And I look back on that incident of smoking and I remind myself that I did a lot of things except claim the authority to heal myself principally. But as I did claim that authority to heal, as does Jesus in the gospel, things changed. And that's what the devil doesn't want. He likes it as it is. With authority given voice in the religious community, but it's not necessarily authority to heal. It is too often authority to be right. I'm right and you're wrong, and I claim that authority with religious trappings. Or the authority to judge, which is clearly not authority given to us by God. It's not even at that point in the gospel, in Jesus' earthly ministry, authority given to Jesus. It is Jesus' authority. Judgment, when he comes again to judge the living and the dead, as we rehearse weekly in our Nicene Creed. But at this point in his earthly ministry, his authority is to heal. And he wields that authority in this story, removing the unclean spirit from the man possessed, which people can recognize. There's something about him that's different. What is this authority? He does not wield the authority to judge, nor are we. He's not necessarily just making a case that he's right and others are wrong. His authority is to heal, and that's the authority that's given to us. The devil laughs when there is the exercise of authority to be right or to judge, because it divides us further. It does the opposite of heal us or unite us. We get more entrenched in our positions. And the devil loves that, because it weakens us to actually do something about that which we need to do in our world. Make no mistake, these things are entrenched racism, poverty. They're habitual. And they're going to take a power that we don't have ourselves, but God does. And I believe, in light of this gospel, that we share in that authority to cleanse the world in which we live. But it's going to require us to go deeper into ourselves, to listen to the word that is whispered in our ear. And I believe that's happening here. I take account of the fact that at the cathedral we've been recently blessed with abundance. As you heard, I presume, we're better off financially than we were. We had a great year of giving, thanks to you. And we abound in talent among us. And I find myself knowing that that's not the case everywhere, that we are somewhat ahead of the curve here, in my humble estimation, having been around a little bit and seen where that's not always the case, where there's not this kind of robust vitality in a congregation. And I wonder, if it's true to whom much is given, much is required, given where we are in our congregational life, what have we been given and why? What is God calling us to be and to do in this town and beyond? Because I'm beginning to believe that we have far more power available to us when we claim the authority of Christ not to judge, not to be right, but to heal. To heal ourselves, our relationships one with another as need be, in our communities, in our families, wherever it's broken, we have authority given us to repair, to heal, to unite. It's on display in the gospel today. And I wonder if that prophet that Moses talks about being raised up, if it's not in fact a community, a prophetic community. Is it us? I believe it is. I believe we have the right stuff. There's work to do. We've got the job, and we have the tools. And I pray that we realize that, and where we need it, to claim that authority, to heal yourself and ourselves. Amen.